Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to the resort and pick it up from your resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals, and an approved Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'll be talking with Eric Anderson about his Southern California vacation, which included the Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic Tour. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Thanks very much, Aaron.
So you're here to tell us about another adults-only trip, and this one was kind of a special one because it was an anniversary trip that you and your wife took. You got to experience an Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic vacation.
Indeed we did. This was for our 10th anniversary, so this was a pretty big one, and being the tremendous Disney geeks that we are, we thought this would be a really neat way to spend it.
Okay. So how did the idea of doing this as your 10th anniversary trip come together?
Well, it's been, I guess, in the works for a while now. We heard about what a great experience these trips were. We were able to get onto one of the trips that was scheduled for close to our anniversary. So, a few weeks after our actual anniversary, we were on a plane headed to California.
Okay. So I know that Adventures by Disney works a little differently than your usual Disney trip. So, you know, I understand that this trip includes Disneyland, but there's a lot more to it. And it seems to me that the preparation is a little different because you're part of an organized tour. So what kind of preparation did you need to do before the Backstage Magic trip?
Well, the preparation is, I think, pretty minimal. There's really not a lot that you have to do as a traveler. If you think about, you know, talking about being inside the Disney bubble, this is like being in a bubble inside a bubble, almost.
Okay.
You know, for better or for worse, you are pretty coddled on these trips. You're pretty much picked up at the airport, and then at every step along the way, you are sort of managed. So you still have some free time, but to that end, you know, we kind of looked over the schedule, which you get in advance, and then we kind of carved out what we might do for our free time. We've got a friend who lives out there in the area, and so we made plans to meet up with him, went out a day early to meet up with him. We wanted to check out one of the Top Chef contestants' restaurants in L.A., and so planned that for our first night in. But that's kind of outside the rubric of the trip itself.
Right,
so,
right.
They do make it easy to add on days at the beginning or at the end, since you're traveling a long way and you might want to see some other stuff. But once you're kind of in the tour, you are pretty much in their very capable hands, and they will get you to where you need to go.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and kind of take us on that trip with you? How did the Adventures by Disney portion of your trip start?
Well, it starts at the airport, really. You are you come down the escalator at LAX, and theoretically, somebody should be waiting there with your name on a card to whisk you off to the hotel where the trip starts. Now, our plane got in about 45 minutes early, which normally is a great thing. However, that meant that nobody was there waiting for us with a little sign, so we didn't get to feel that sort of celebrity rush of having a driver pick you up at the airport right away. So we hung out for a while, eventually got somebody out to get us picked up. And then, driver got everything loaded into the car, and we were on our way. So it's kind of a trip from LAX to West Hollywood, which is where the Lowe's Hollywood Hotel is.
And that's one of the things that is interesting to me, is that your Adventures by Disney, Backstage Magic trip starts at a Los Angeles hotel that's not a Disney hotel.
Yes, and the trip is kind of split between stuff in and around Hollywood, and then stuff in the park, or in the parks rather, since they've got two of them.
Right.
And the portion that's not inside the Disney park is still, a lot of it is still Disney related. So the Lowe's Hollywood Hotel is right there in West Hollywood. It is almost right beside the former Grauman's Chinese Theater, which is now the TCI Chinese Theater, something like that, where a lot of Disney movies were premiered. In the midst of a lot of interesting stuff, right on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, so you can go outside the hotel and see those things. Right across the El Capitan Theater, which gets a lot of Disney stuff these days. Frozen was playing over there. So just some very grand theaters in the area.
Right.
And as an added bonus at the Lowe's Hollywood Hotel, we were on the 13th floor, which is, I think, a bonus for any Hollywood hotel.
Right. On the 13th floor Hollywood Hotel, luckily there were no lightning storms while you were there.
Right. Elevators worked fine the whole time.
Okay. So you start out, with the Hollywood piece of Backstage Magic. What did ABD want to show you in sort of the Hollywood segment of the tour?
Sure. It started out, first night was, the first night of the ABD portion of the trip they had a welcome dinner. We'd been doing stuff around town earlier in the day, just on our own. But once we kind of got everybody together in a room, they sort of introduced what was going to happen. They introduced themselves, got everybody to stand up, kind of introduced themselves.
And let's give people a little bit of a feel for, what a Adventures by Disney tour group looks like. So about how many people total were there in your group?
I think about 30-ish. So I think it was between 30 and 35 at least. I think our normal count was about 33.
Okay. And I know that Backstage Magic has a minimum age as well, right?
The minimum age on this one is, I think, 4.
Oh, but, okay. Older than I thought.
But,
I'm sorry, younger than I thought.
Yeah, but there were no kids on this trip. It was all adults.
Okay.
This was our first ABD trip. Some people in our tour group had been on 6 or more ABD trips. At least one couple had been on like 4 of the Backstage Magic trips, including this one. So,
okay.
A wide range of experience in the group. Some of them had been traveling together. Our tour guides had happened to have one of our group's sort of components on their very first tour, so it was kind of a homecoming for them. but you get people from all over the country. You've got people from California, people from the East Coast, a couple of Disney cast members.
In
our group.
With that group of about 30, Adventures by Disney, for Backstage Magic, is it two tour guides just like it is on the international trips?
Yes, two tour guides, and they were both sort of from California, so they were from the area. They've been cast members at Disneyland before they started doing the ABD stuff. But yeah, so they just two guides for a group.
All right, and
that was pretty much fine. Got a little crowded in Disneyland at times, but okay. We managed to keep the group together.
All right, so you had your welcome dinner. Was it just at the hotel, or did they take you someplace special for it?
It was at the hotel. They just did a buffet. The focus was really on kind of getting everybody acclimated, getting everybody introduced to each other.
Okay.
Kind of laying out what was in store for us. The meal was fine. It was a buffet. Nothing spectacular. Nothing particularly Disney-ish about it. But the food was good. After dinner, we ended up going over to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, which is pretty close by.
Okay.
The hotel. So that was just one of those sort of Hollywood experiences that came along with the trip.
Okay. And all of this is included in, part of the Adventures by Disney package that you buy.
Yes. Just everything that we did was included, with the exception of a few meals here and there. But for the most part, again, you're kind of in the bubble, and everything's kind of taken care of for you.
Okay.
And that includes tips. So, like, for the driver to and from the airport, the tips were included.
Oh, that's nice.
As well as the ride. So that's nice. Again, okay. It's a very coddling experience.
Well, but also a relaxing experience, because you're not worrying about whether you've got cash, and, little things like that are just not on your mind at all.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, so was there anything in particular about the wax museum that you found that you enjoyed or that was interesting?
It was more interesting than I was expecting it to be, honestly. They had a little section toward the end about how they made these things, a little bit of the history of the wax museum, how it originated in Europe, and sort of the genesis and the expansion of this sort of wax museum empire. That spans a couple of continents, but it was kind of interesting to see all the displays. They had our guides set up, of course, a little scavenger hunt, so you had to kind of do pictures with the wax figures who were given who were referenced in the clues that they gave us. So
they created something to kind of lead you through the museum a bit.
Yeah, they did. And it wasn't mandatory. You weren't graded on it or anything, but it was just, just kind of a fun way to start it, kind of give you a little guidance, if nothing else. So.
All right, so what was on the agenda for your next day, your first kind of full day as part of the tour?
Sure. The next day started bright and early, and we went over to the former Grauman's Chinese Theater. We were taken inside and given a tour. We also got some popcorn, which was nice, but got to walk around with one of the guys who works there, who gave us kind of a background of how the theater started, all the different premieres that had happened there, a little bit about the reconstruction of the theater, the refurbishment. And it was interesting. I mean, I'm kind of being a bit of a movie geek too. It was interesting to hear a little bit of that history. You're going there and going back, we kind of, walked, on the Walk of Fame, so we get to see various stars on the Walk of Fame, which is nice. It's not it's not a reason to pay for the tour, I don't think, because you can
that part wasn't the highlight of your trip.
No, certainly not. But the tour of the TCL Chinese Theater was really interesting.
Okay. All right. So what was the next sort of phase of the tour?
The Jim Henson Company. which is kind of has been associated with Disney for a long time. We got to walk around the lot a little bit. Got to talk to a puppeteer there and have him kind of, you know, walk us through how puppetry is done, and got to see, you know, various parts of the you know, Jim Henson Studios, which was kind of neat if you're, you know, if you're a Muppets fan, or, you know, Fraggle Rock fan, or a fan of any of the Henson Empire, then it's just neat to see sort of where these things happened.
Sure.
And they had
no stumbling across, you know, Tex Richmond plotting to blow it all up and, you know, drill for oil there.
No, it's it was a little like you know, sort of the beginning of the Muppets movie there, but but actually it was a, you know, very vibrant place. They had actually a reality show that was, you know, filming there, so we couldn't go in everywhere that we'd have liked to go in, but it was, we still got to see a lot of neat stuff there. Then after that, we drove out to a place for lunch called the Tam O'Shanter, which was one of Walt Disney's hangouts. So he had one particular table that was his favorite, and so I got to see that, got to have lunch. I got to hear a little bit about the history of the place, which has been around for almost 100 years now. It was, I think, opened in the early 1920s. So the restaurant's been around for a long time. It's been sort of this, you know, Hollywood establishment. And again, it's, you know, it's part of this tour is kind of walking in Walt's footsteps, and this was one of the places where he could literally do that.
Right. Yeah. As I recall, the Tam O'Shanter is, you know, one of the places that, you know, Walt and the nine old men used to go and hang out, you know, during the work day at Disney Studios.
Exactly. So again, that's one of those sort of touchstones that I hadn't really heard a lot about before I went, but it was neat to sort of experience that.
Okay.
And then we headed out to we did kind of a drive-by at the cemetery where Walt Disney's buried. It didn't go in or anything, but just kind of pointed it out. And we went to this little steam locomotive park, basically, and I got to see one of Walt Disney's train cars that was that's housed there, as well as the barn from Walt's estate that was transported there after Walt Disney's death, and before the property was sold to somebody else. The barn was, you know, taken apart and reassembled completely at this steam train park, which was, again, really neat. It's, you're getting to see stuff, you know, as Walt Disney saw it, getting to sort of interact with the things that he had his hands on. And it was, again, one of those things where you're just having experiences that you wouldn't normally have. This was sort of the Adventures by Disney folks really getting you in, talking to people who have a lot of knowledge about the things and the history of the things. So we got to hear about, you know, how, you know, some people were nodding off during this part, but, you know, how the gauge of the steam railroads, you know, it's like one of Walt's colleagues had, you know, track that was this wide, so Walt had to have it like 1.5 times bigger just to have the biggest toys, which was, you know, it was a fun fact, I thought. But that was pretty much day one on our own, and then after that we were kind of on our own to, you know, go back to the hotel, rest, relax, and then get rested up for the next day, which again started early.
So what's the big picture on day three? What's the is there a topic focus or something like that, or is there just a destination focus?
Well, this was the day where we went to Walt Disney Imagineering and Walt Disney Studios.
Oh, okay.
So this is sort of getting into the heart of the non-theme park Disney empire,
right,
out on the West Coast. You know, I had breakfast in the hotel and then boarded a bus that took us out to Imagineering. Now, just to give you another hint about the Adventures by Disney experience, this was our last day in the hotel in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So we just left our bags inside the room, packed, and then they magically ended up at our next destination. So that's nice. You don't have to carry your luggage around.
Sure.
Again, it's a bit of coddling. So we started the day out, you know, with breakfast, got on the bus, headed over to Imagineering, which was, you know, kind of amazing. There are some things that they'll take you in and show you that I am not at liberty to discuss because I would not want to ruin it for anyone else. But you'll get to talk to people behind the scenes, Imagineers who work in Imagineering, and they will basically say, let you ask any question that you want. However, answering the questions is a different story. They got asked about things like, you know, when are you going to fix the Yeti?
I suspect questions like that were artfully dodged.
Well, it's basically said, you know, we've got that ride and we've got another ride, and those are the two rides. And if we shut down one of the rides for as long as it would take to fix the Yeti, then that's bad. And people are still riding the attraction. So until people stop riding the attraction, we kind of need to keep it open to keep people coming to the park. So it wasn't an optimistic answer, but, you know, he was at least, you know, forthright about it.
Okay. And it maybe gives us some hope for, when and if Avatar Land gets rolling, you know, when there's enough else at the park that they can afford to shut down Everest for an extended period, maybe it is possible that it can be repaired.
Exactly. Let's see. And after we left Imagineering, which, by the way, it was a really incredible experience. If you're a Disney geek at all, you will really, really enjoy geeking out, walking through the halls, you know, seeing names that you've seen at the, you know, tail end of Disney movies or in books that you've read about the parks. Is kind of nice. Let's see. And so anyway, after Imagineering, we went over to Walt Disney Studios, which was very interesting and timely because if you've seen Saving Mr. Banks, a lot of the scenes from that are right there at the Walt Disney Studios. I saw Saving Mr. Banks after I'd been on this trip. So, but it was very nice to see, you know, oh, that bench. Yes, I remember that bench. And anyway, we got to walk around the studios, got to see the sets from Saving Mr. Banks that were set up to be, you know, Walt Disney's office. Those were still kind of preserved up in on one of the floors of one of the buildings there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to walk through. We basically got them set up for tours, and you know, we went through and looked at those. Got to eat lunch at the commissary there, which is very good. And there's also a store there, which we also had time for shopping as well as eating lunch after we did the tours. We also got to go inside the Disney archives and look around there a little bit.
Okay.
And you know, get our pictures taken with one of the Oscars.
Nice.
That Walt Disney won. So, but yeah, just being inside there, one of the curators there was on hand to answer questions as well. which was really nice. Oh, also, before we left, Walt Disney Imagineering, we got to go shopping at Mickey's of Glendale, which is the store there, and that's where you can get certain, you know, Walt Disney Imagineering items that you cannot get elsewhere. So,
right, and let's make sure people understand that, you know, Mickey's of Glendale is a store that's not open to the general public.
No, this is just for people who basically work on the campus there, and Adventures by Disney people who come through, and that's pretty much it. So that's a great experience. Again, it's one of those things that you just can't get otherwise, unless you're working in Imagineering. So between the two, there's plenty of opportunity to spend money that on, you know, certain things that you cannot get anywhere else. And it's not just the shopping, though. I think just walking around these places, again, seeing where some of the magic is made, it's a really, really interesting experience, especially if you are as geeky about Disney stuff as I am. And I think that probably if you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance that you might be.
Okay. So you've got all the way up now through, you know, lunch at the commissary. What's the second half of your day look like on Imagineering Day?
After that, it's a nice long drive over to Anaheim. And again, the lunch was kind of pushed late for this, but, you know, we were back on the bus, and it's about, I guess, between an hour and a half over to Anaheim from where we were at Walt Disney Studios. The Adventures by Disney trip has you stay at the Grand Californian, okay, which is sort of the flagship resort out there. It is a great place. And again, this was in early December, early to mid December. So all the Christmas decorations were up. So it was just fantastic. It was a fantastic place just in terms of the decorations as well. So, think about kind of the rusticness of, say, Wilderness Lodge at Walt Disney World. You're getting sort of some of that same theming. Plus you've got, you know, a gigantic Christmas tree in the middle of the main lobby area. Anyway, got in, got settled. We were taken over to Disneyland Park after we'd kind of gotten everybody checked in and settled, and ended up having dinner there kind of as a big group at the Big Thunder Ranch, which is kind of a all-you-care-to-eat family-style dining venue there, sit-down restaurant.
And when you say there, it's there in Disneyland Park.
Yes, it is. It's in the Frontierland section. Again, it's all included. And made to eat a lot of barbecue chicken and ribs. And then after that, we were taken over to the Haunted Mansion with its holiday overlay, which is amazing. They don't have it at Walt Disney World, but the holiday overlay with Jack Skellington at Disneyland is really amazing. If you can make it out there during the holiday season, I highly recommend it. And for the Adventures by Disney group, we got to just walk on. It just took us around the side, and it was kind of the ultimate fast pass. So
that's always nice.
It was very nice, especially with the line stretching around the block outside. So we go through, and then kind of as a group, we went through, and then on the other side, they said, okay, you're free for the rest of the evening, but here are three fast passes for each of you, so go have a good time. And
very nice.
We ended up heading over to the Indiana Jones ride and enjoying that for a while. And that was about it for the evening. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're not only getting, you know, kind of the fast pass access to things as part of the trip, but you're also getting sort of this you know, special access. You know, just go right on. Don't, no waiting at all.
Sure. Well, and you know, that was a pretty full day. I mean, you spent a morning in Imagineering and Mickey's of Glendale and in the commissary, and then they moved you over to the hotel, and you got checked into the hotel, and you got a dinner, and then you got a special ride on Haunted Mansion with the holiday overlay, and then you got fast passes to go explore the parks more on your own. So, it, you know, there's a lot going on that day.
There really was, and that's pretty much true for most of the days. I mean, it's really nonstop, and you know, the transportation time gives you a little bit of downtime, but once you're kind of on Disneyland property, you're not having to travel so much, and so it's just you gotta get to where you need to be.
Right. Well, and you've mentioned, you know, so far you're 2 days in, and you've had early morning starts each day. So is that going to continue here on the next day of your trip?
Oh yes, yes it will, Aaron. Yeah, so I got up pretty early and headed over to Blue Bayou, actually, for breakfast. And Blue Bayou is not normally open for breakfast, but they did a, you know, special breakfast meal, which was pretty decent. Again, that was pretty early. After that, we got basically the first ride on Pirates of the Caribbean, so which is right there, you know, at Blue Bayou. So they were kind of working out a few of the kinks in their final testing of the ride before they let people on. I think we were the final guinea pigs that morning.
Okay, so you actually had a sort of pre-opening breakfast at Blue Bayou before the park even opened.
Yes.
Okay.
And, yeah, an early start. Again, so it's great, you know, again, not waiting in line to get on a ride that's actually pretty popular out at Disneyland. It is a nice thing. Most of the day, which is, I guess, day four of the trip, was spent sort of in the warm embrace of our guides, who took us around to various, you know, sections of the park, took us backstage to look at and hear about some things that people don't normally get to see. One of Walt's railroad cars is there, called the Lily Bell.
Right, and that's the one that only runs with the train, you know, on sort of special days when they know the weather is going to be compliant and all those good things.
Right. So this was just an amazing artifact, and it was backstage, just, you know, to let us see it. So we just got to walk through and you know, sit on it, get our pictures taken with it. Didn't get to ride on it, but, you know, we still got, you know, and somebody who was very knowledgeable about it, recounting how, you know, they got it originally and how they had to kind of fight to get it restored, because it was this, you know, incredible piece of history that was kind of just left, you know, kind of not being taken care of.
Sure.
They really put, you know, time and money into it. And if, you know, you didn't have people there working backstage who were really championing it, it would not have gotten fixed up the way it has been. And it's really great to hear their stories, and, you know, how folks who aren't in the executive suite are, you know, handling these things on the ground and kind of pushing them up when they get a chance. So,
well, and you know, I think that this is really kind of where Adventures by Disney shines through, because they're really leveraging not just the park experience itself, which is already, you know, Disney infused, but they're also leveraging Disney's, you know, special ability and skill with story and sort of adding another dimension to the story that's told by the attractions themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And even just hearing, you know, folks who have been working there for 30 or more years, talk to them backstage, it really gives you a sense of just how much a part of the culture out there that these things are, and how, people have, maybe grown up with or, come on board later in life, but still have been there long enough that they've seen how things have changed and how things have grown and how things have gone from, being not so important to being more important over time. And just sort of hearing their stories, hearing them answer your questions is, I think, just an amazing experience. That's I think that's just one of those takeaways that it just doesn't happen if you're not on one of these trips.
Sure. Okay. So that's you're now what, 4 days in, and this is a 7 day trip.
Basically a 5 day trip.
Oh,
more
okay.
or less. So
we're kind of nearing the grand finale, I sense.
We're getting there, but first.
Okay.
We got to visit Walt's apartment, which is sort of right above the firehouse, right on the left as you come into the park, before you get really to the main part of Main Street, which was a really amazing experience. It's basically like it was as Walt lived in it.
Right.
So I got to hear stories about how it was. How it was used. The initial sort of TV show about Disneyland opening. How there you could see people up in Walt's apartment, these little heads bobbing up and down, but they weren't Walt's kids. They were actually some of the original Mouseketeers were up in Walt's apartment watching out the windows there, which is one of those neat stories. That you get from the guides, not our guides, but these were folks who actually work at Disneyland and who are associated with Walt's apartment. So
right, they do
they've
that
got
as part
there.
Of another tour on a regular basis.
Right. So anyway, we went there, and then we went back over to the New Orleans Square area because we were told this is where Walt was, but he wanted to do something. He wanted a place that was bigger so he could actually entertain people, not in this little, which is basically a studio apartment. It's smaller than I think most DVC studios are these days, but
right.
So we went over to the Dream Suite and got to tour through there, and the Dream Suite is over in New Orleans Square. It's kind of above Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's just an amazing structure. And again, there are just some really, really neat touches in there. It's amazing, and it's one of those things that's that comes with the Adventures by Disney trip that you're just not going to see otherwise. And I think they were using it as sort of a prize. You get to stay there a night. And they did the Year of a Million Dreams promotion, but it's just the work that they put into this place, and just the Imagineered touches in there are just really fantastic. I was really blown away by it. One of the guys who works there, that's all he does. He works at the Dream Suite, and he is very knowledgeable about it, its history, and sort of where different design elements came from. So that was a really fascinating thing as well.
Okay.
After that, we were kind of let loose on our own to spend the rest of the day in the park. And by the way, you've got like 4 days of park admission as part of this Adventures by Disney trip.
Right, so that's all part of the package.
It's all part of the package, and we were, you know, released with five fast passes each for the afternoon. So again, you just got to go around, you know, whatever ride you want to go on, just that has a fast pass, just hop on. There are no, you know, restrictions on the fast passes. You can use them anytime. They wouldn't carry over different days, but, you know, it's...
Well, I don't know. It's not like you weren't getting new ones for the next day, so...
That's true. So, it was a nice touch, I think. You know, even though, you know, it has all the same, you know, issues associated with normal Fastpass usage, it's still, you know, better than waiting in 120-minute line for something.
Sure.
Standby. Because you didn't get into the park until, you know, afternoon, basically, which was when we were able to get out and get going. You know, we went around. We got to see, you know, how Disney security deals with, you know, people who are disruptive. not us, but, you know, that was kind of interesting. Eventually we, had a good time in the park, and eventually we ended up reserve seating for the parade, so the Christmas parade that comes through during the holiday season there. We had special roped off seating right there at the hub, so right near the castle, kind of off to the right side of the hub, which is really, really prime seating. And this is one of those occasions where, you know, you saw a lot of people kind of walk up and your guides would shoo them away from the reserve section, and, you know, you got the feeling that, yes, when the revolution comes, we'll be the first ones up against the wall.
Well, you know, so this is the VIP treatment, though, that the, you know, we've kind of dodged around the fact that an Adventures by Disney trip is not inexpensive. And this is part of what you're paying for, is that VIP experience that is not generally available when you're in the park, you know, on a normal, you know, as a normal everyday guest.
That's exactly right, and it is pricey. Like I said, this was a 10th anniversary present that my wife and I got each other, basically. And you know, there's no two ways about it. It is an expensive trip, but like you say, you are staying in really nice hotels. You've got 4 days worth of park admission to the Disney parks, and you're getting to see things that you don't otherwise get to see. So, you know, whether it's worth it or not to you is kind of a decision you're going to have to make on your own, but you are getting a lot of really neat stuff. Like I said, I was, you know, joking about, you know, the sort of looks that we got from people, but, you know, people were generally not really having any issues with us. It was just, you know, the Adventures by Disney tour guides were very nice, you know, kind of apologetic, saying, you know, sorry, this is reserved section, you know. And we actually, on our first day, we had this picture outside of the hotel, and a guy came over and photobombed us and started walking along with us. And our tour guide eventually, I think, just, you know, kind of took him aside and said, oh, well, we're just starting out this tour, so, you know, if you want to pay this much money to join us, that's fine. Otherwise, I'm afraid you're going to have to leave. It is definitely, like I said, it's an experience where you're coddled the whole way. You are inside a bubble, and you know, the tour guides make it, or try to make it at least, a really wonderful experience.
Sure.
And you know, just and these things like the special seating is one of those things.
Okay, so you get a prime view of the special Christmas parade, mm-hmm. And what's next on the agenda?
Let's see. I believe after that we were, actually, I'm not sure whether it was, I think it was actually the night before that we had a viewing of Fantasmic. So I'm not remembering whether it was the night before or that night. But
right, either way, so I assume it was a similar situation where you had a reserved area for Fantasmic.
Yeah, well, Fantasmic has a kind of a dessert package that you can buy that gets you seating for Fantasmic and a little tray of food, which is really nice. And that's basically what we got. So that's
okay.
You know, that's like, I think, $60 or $70 a person, if you do it a la carte, but it's, you know, rolled into the Adventures by Disney price. And so it was just as a group, we did that. And then, yeah, anyway, the night of the fifth night, I think after the parade, we're sort of, you know, left our own devices again. Yeah, basically, yeah, we're again going to be up pretty early the next morning. So it didn't pay to have late nights, really, because you're going to be up every night. And if you're like us and facing another, you know, long flight back to the East Coast and the time change, sleep was pretty precious.
Sure.
So anyway, so day five is kind of the California Adventure Day. And this turned out to be the worst weather of the trip, which was too bad. But yeah, actually, the night before, I guess my wife and I went over to California Adventure and had a lovely day there. It's the previous afternoon, and yeah, got to ride California Screamin', which is a fantastic roller coaster. Unfortunately, on our actual California Adventure day, the weather was not great. So it was not horrible, but it's like, you know, 50s, but a lot of rain. So anyway, we had breakfast and Storyteller's Cafe in the Grand Californian, and then we headed over to California Adventure. And, you know, again, kind of rainy, but we got to go behind the scenes for a couple of other rides, including Radiator Springs Racers. So we got to see sort of the Master Command Center behind that ride, which is really, really neat. You know, later on we got, you know, backdoored onto the ride. But, you know, we didn't have the full experience of walking past, you know, 100 gazillion people in line just because of the weather. But again, it was one of those cases where, you know, having that sort of access just gets you on the rides that are normally tough to get on really easily. So
very nice.
That was very nice. My wife and I went over to the Wine Country Trattoria for lunch because we just wanted to get inside, and there aren't that many places to eat that are inside in California Adventure. So got out of the rain a little bit, and then just kind of took it easy for the rest of the afternoon. Did a little shopping, did a little resting, and that is the one downside of this particular day was, you know, we would have done a lot more, I think, if, you know, the sun had been out.
Oh, yeah, but that happens, tour or no tour, you know,
yeah.
Disney World, Disneyland. It's the reality of, you know, outdoor entertainment.
Exactly. And there are you know, plenty of ways you can entertain yourself. But yeah, this is as the trip was rounding, it was winding up. So that night was our farewell dinner, which is at the Carthay Circle restaurant. They had, you know, a nice sort of, they had sort of a 3-course dinner laid out for us. You know, appetizer, entree, choice of entrees, and then dessert. And then they also included wine with this one. They said a glass of wine, but they just kept filling that glass. So,
well, you only had one glass in front of you.
Yes, that is, I guess, what they meant by that. But that was a nice surprise. But then after that, we all went down to the World of Color show, which also had a holiday change in it. So we got to see some stuff from Frozen was, you know, worked into the World of Color show. which was really nice. And we all got the Glow with the Show ears, which was also a nice touch.
Yeah, a nice little perk.
Although I was the idiot who was, you know, trying to, you know, taking off his ears every so often to look to see what they were doing. I thought that was neat. As if the same thing wasn't happening to all the other ears around me. So yeah, that was interesting. I'm not sure how effective it is, especially if everyone in front of you does not have Glow with the Show ears on, kind of loses something. But no, again, this is one of those things where we got special standing. It wasn't seating, but you know, a special standing area for it. It was basically like one of the dinner package areas for our group. And at that point, we're sort of, you know, left our own devices. Everything pretty much wraps up after World of Color anyway. So it was back to the hotel.
Okay.
And one of the things that they often do on these trips is take you into Club 33, which right. is the private dining room in Disneyland. They've recently built a special room at Carthay Circle. It's a 1901 room, I believe, or 1901 club. I forget which one.
Okay.
But so anyway, that's their sort of Club 33 addendum over in California Adventure. And we actually got to go through there in the morning on our California Adventure day. But we had not had an opportunity to go into Club 33. However, on the last day before we left, we had the chance to go over there and got to walk through and get a little tour from one of the managers there. And again, this is one of those, you know, this is where Walt did stuff, you know, experiences that is really fantastic. And hearing about it from someone who is so intimately involved with it,
sure.
I think just adds to the experience a lot. You can tell that people are really invested in what they're doing.
Right.
In all of these venues. And it's just, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about, you know, Walt Disney World cast members, but at least the folks we talked to on this tour at Disneyland and California Adventure and really everywhere, they were so invested, and you could tell how invested they were in what they did and in the parks and in sort of the history and legacy that it was really moving. So, you know, they picked some great people for us to talk to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do that, I think, on purpose. I mean, those are people who they go out of their way to make sure are well-trained, and not just well-trained, but particularly passionate about what it is that they're, you know, talking to you about.
Yes, absolutely. They are, I think, great ambassadors for both the parks and really for the legacy. And there is, I think, a lot of legacy involved in this because the parks and, you know, the studios have a long history, and they are, you know, continuing to present great products up through the present day.
Well, so you got that Club 33 thing, and one thing that I think is important to note is that was probably one of the last of the Club 33 tours of the original Club 33, because the construction there is ongoing now.
Yes.
Now, had the construction started when you took your trip?
They had, yes, they had, let's see, I believe they're working on it. They had a wing closed off that they were working on that other wing. I think you've got to kind of work back through the original Club 33.
Okay, so they hadn't connected back up to the original Club 33 yet, but they were kind of working on the expansion area.
Exactly. It was another one of those situations where we could ask a lot of questions, but getting them answered was a lot tougher.
But, yeah, a little different situation.
Yeah. But again, yeah, it was really great to see. I'm glad we got the opportunity to do that, and it's not guaranteed that you get to do it. And again, with the expansion, I'm not sure how it's going to change in the future, but it was nice seeing it before that happened.
Right. Sure. So, all right. So now we've covered pretty much the whole trip. I mean, you've packed up, you're going to head back to the airport. So now that you've completed this trip, you've had some time to reflect back. If you had to pick maybe the two things that were the biggest highlights of this whole trip, what would you say were the two things that, you know, were the maybe not the biggest, but the most meaningful to you that you think you got the most out of?
Okay, I think the first thing was visiting Imagineering. And again, some of that goes into things, surprises that I do not want to spoil for anybody. But
right, fair enough.
That was just really amazing. And like I said, just, you know, walking through halls and seeing, you know, nameplates on doors that, you know, I recognize from, you know, watching Disney movies or, you know, hearing about the development of rides and attractions at Disneyland, Disney World. It just really, you know, brought home that sort of sense of this is where the magic comes from, and they're still making it here. So it was just kind of nice to see that, you know, things are still in the pipeline for amazing things are coming down the line later.
Cool.
And then, you know, after that, I'm going to kind of cheat a little bit. I think that, you know, Walt's apartment was really, really moving. I mean, it's just so intricately tied to Walt Disney's history and the history of the Disneyland park. That it's just a really, you know, amazing touchstone for any Disney fan, I think. And it sort of embodies, you know, it's kind of the sense of duty that I think Walt Disney felt toward this thing that he was building, that he had to have a place there so he could be on site.
Sure.
And, you know, take part in it. You know, and you know, it wasn't lavish. It was, you know, nice, comfortable, but, you know, just, you know, basically a place where he could, you know, spend a few hours sleeping and then get back to work. And it was, like I said, just being in there and sort of, you know, feeling that spirit.
Sure.
Not any, you know, ghost hunter-y sense or anything, but just the idea that he was so invested in this place that he, you know, would take the time to set up the space.
Right.
Because he knew that he was going to be there.
Right. Sure. All right, so now I have to ask the question because I know that people are going to want to know. So
yep.
Can you ballpark for us about what a Backstage Magic trip costs per adult? Obviously, there's seasonal differences and all of that, but just a ballpark idea would be helpful, I think.
Yeah, for two people, about $5,000.
Okay. All right, so it's not cheap, but by the same token, you know, $5,000 for two people, so $2,500 a person, and
yeah, well,
it includes all of the admissions and food and all of that.
Yeah. If you go by yourself, I believe there is a single supplement that you have to pay, so it's not...
Right, so it's not a true per person. Right.
Right, but, you know, if you got two people going, then yeah. Yeah.
And the two people doesn't necessarily have to be you and your spouse, or, you know, because the reason for a single supplement is that all the rooms are booked as double occupancy.
Exactly. So, and, you know, we had, you know, families who were along. Yeah, I think we had, you know, one person who was a single. But yeah, I think the bulk of the people there were in couples. like one mother-daughter combination too, though. So there's your, you know, two people who aren't who aren't married, but yeah, so it can break up anyway. And right, it does cover a lot of stuff, but you know, it's not deep anyway. But you are paying for sort of these premium experiences, like you're staying in the Grand Californian and you know, staying at nice hotels in Hollywood. So,
well, and for access to things that you normally don't get access to at all, you know, five extra any ride you want fast passes and. You know, a breakfast at the Blue Bayou before park opening that doesn't normally exist. I mean, these are perks of a Backstage Magic trip that aren't available really, you know, at any price otherwise. I mean, I guess you could purchase a VIP tour, but at that point, that's essentially what you're doing with Backstage Magic.
Yeah, and it'll probably, I think, cost you more per day doing that.
Right.
You have to squeeze in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Do VIP tour, and you're still not, you know, getting access to things like Imagineering, which is, I think, just exclusively an ABD thing. So.
So the big clincher question then is, you know, it was expensive, it was busy, you were up early every morning. Was it worth it, and would you do it again?
I'm going to say it was worth it, yes. I got a lot out of it. I, you know, got to see stuff that I would never have seen otherwise. And, you know, it was really a wonderful trip. And again, that I was also paying for, you know, things like airfare. So people who live, you know, in California might be able to get away without that, but
sure.
That does add to the cost as well. But yeah, it was a fantastic trip. And again, for Disney obsessed people, it's, you know, a way to get access to things that you cannot, to which you cannot get access to otherwise. And that I think is where the real, bargain, if you want to call it that, comes in.
Right. So, and then if you're thinking about taking, you know, a child, a son or a daughter, how old do you think a child would need to be before it would be worth it for them to have this experience, for that they would, you know, get out of it enough that it would be worth paying for the experience for them?
I don't know, ballpark at around 12.
Okay.
And they would have to, I think, have some good background in Disney history and actually be interested in it, because, you know, there's, like I was saying before about the sort of steam train park, and
right.
how, you know, we're talking about the different railway gauges for a while. If you don't have an interest in Walt Disney or steam trains, then that part is going to be kind of deathly boring to you. And
okay.
It's really hard to get around the fact that, you know, without, you know, some sort of connection or at least some good knowledge of sort of Disney's life and sort of the trajectory of the Disney parks and Disney Studios, then it's a lot of it. It's going to be, I think, wasted.
That makes sense.
I mean, you'll still learn stuff on the trip, but you're not going to have, I think, the same sort of emotional reaction that you would have if you've, you know, been as kind of a student of, you know, Disney history.
Right. Sure.
And plus, these are long days, and it if you've got a kid there who's, you know, my older daughter is 9, and I don't think would have made it through some of these days where, you know, you start very early in the morning and you're going till late at night, being able to keep up her interest. So, you know, all that being said, I'd ballpark it around, you know, sort of early teenage years, I guess, for kids who might be able to get something out of this.
All right. Well, is there anything about this trip that I haven't asked you about that you think it's important for people to know?
Well, one thing I will say is that it made me think very seriously about using an Adventures by Disney trip when we're ready to take our girls to other countries.
Okay.
Just because, again, you're inside that bubble, and you've got sort of the Disney guides paving your way for you. Got looking out for you, keeping you safe. And you know, again, you're paying a premium for the experience, but you know, especially taking kids abroad, you know, having that extra measure of safety and security, I think is
sure
is well worth it.
Yeah, and you know, that's where things like, you know, Adventures by Disney always having two guides with you, it just kind of gives you that extra level of comfort and security, because most guided tour companies don't, as a matter of course, provide two tour guides for a group of 30.
Right. I think it's easy to get used to. Another thing I'd like to say is the guides also took a lot of pictures. So as part of the package, we are getting, like, I believe it's around 1,100 pictures.
Wow.
Taken at various venues around around the parks and around the various places we visited. So,
so it's like having your own personal PhotoPass photographers following you around.
Yeah. So it's like for everything, it was, you know, do you want to take it? You know, everybody stand here for a picture. We'll take a picture of you. We'll take a picture of the group. So we got to, you know, have all that included, which, as you say, you know, PhotoPass, you know, costs you some money. So that's something that's rolled into this as well. So just another thing to keep in mind, that when you're, you know, adding up the price for all these things, you know, you're getting a little something extra out of it as well with the photography.
Right. And all of these are sort of, you know, value adds that are not things that you know, immediately think of, but are really what kind of goes to the core of what makes Adventures by Disney a worthwhile investment.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the guides, I'm sure that all the ABD guides are great. Ours, I think, were fantastic. I could not imagine, you know, having better people taking care of us. But the thing is, there probably are people who are just as good who do this every other trip. So
right. I think that sure.
Disney's just made the investment in having great people lead these things. And that too is just something that is, I think, really, really valuable.
All right. Well, I think that's a great note to wrap up on. So thanks again for sharing with us about your trip. This is the first Adventures by Disney trip we've had the opportunity to share with our listeners. So hopefully if you do decide to head overseas with ABD, you'll come back and tell us about that as well.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Aaron.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. imagination.